When you need immediate care, you want a team that cares about you. Desert Oasis Healthcare's award-winning immediate care clinics offer you what you need, like same-day service on a variety of tests, including COVID testing for COVID treatment options. Meet our efficient, caring, and knowledgeable team in four locations throughout the Valley. We take pride in our service, and caring for you is our passion. Visit us when you need care and see why many agree. Desert Oasis Healthcare is the best of desert.
DAP Health and Revival Stores are committed to health equity in the Coachella Valley. You can support the community you want to create by helping fund comprehensive care at DAP Health, or by shopping, donating, or volunteering at one of Revival Stores' four Valley locations. No one is turned away from care because of their ability to pay at DAP Health. 10,000 of our neighbors receive integrated care, including primary care, mental health care, sexual wellness, and HIV specialty care at DAP Health clinics in Palm Springs and Indio. To learn more, go to daphealth.org.
It's our golden anniversary. Eisenhower Health is celebrating 50 years with this wonderful community. From the day we opened our medical center back in 1971, we've done all we can to keep our relationship meaningful. We've created a valley-wide network of primary and specialty care clinics, recruited exceptional physicians and staff, invested in advanced technologies, and worked to meet your changing healthcare needs, from developing our renowned robotic surgery program to providing specialty care for the LGBTQ community. We expanded our cancer program to provide advanced services through our affiliation with UC San Diego Health. We became an accredited teaching hospital to attract talented new physicians to the area. And we continue to earn certifications, awards, and high rankings for quality and safety. So here's to us, to you, and to the next 50 years. Learn more at EisenhowerHealth.org.
Hello, my friend, Pat Boone here. People often ask me what I do to stay as young and active as I seem to be to them at age 87, and I do feel great. I tell them I try to eat right, I exercise, I read the Bible each morning. Plus, for the last 20 years, I've been taking an anti-aging nutritional formula called MDR Vital Factors, and for me, it's like a fountain of youth. See, Vital Factors gives me lots of energy, mental focus, and all-day stamina. It was developed by medical doctor research with nutrients that support your natural HGH, the youth hormone that declines as we age. It's vital for lean muscles, firm skin, strong bones, peak brain function, and your immune defenses that keep you healthy. All of that's vitally important today. So, if you're feeling older, why don't you try Vital Factors like I do and turn back the clock? Recapture that wonderful feeling of youthful vitality and great health, which I'd still enjoy. Call 800-325-VITAL, V-I-T-A-L, 1-800-325-VITAL, that's vital, or go to vitalfactors.com, vitalfactors.com. You'll thank me.
We're sizzling in the desert, and RVing is hotter than ever. Hi there, folks. Cher Lichtman here, Mike Thompson RV in Cathedral City. Our commitment is to your health and safety, and we promise you customer delight. Hot, hot deals await you. The number one RV dealer in California. Mike Thompson RV in Cathedral City. Your adventure starts here.
From the Joey English Show, here is this hour's mystery song.
Okay, Joey pals, all this week, the Joey introduction music has been presented by Merv Griffin. Because maybe you didn't know that he started out as a big band singer. So, Rick is playing mystery songs where Merv's the singer. Now.
Roger Young, fought and died for the men he marched among.
Roger Young? I have never, that's two in a row I've never heard of. There's a song called Roger Young, and this is Merv singing.
Grenades against machine guns in the gloom. Caught in ambush till this one of 20 riflemen volunteered to meet his doom. Roger Young, fought and died for the men he marched among.
Okay, Joey Pals, we're back. I love saying that. Let's talk about your career. Now, see, I know you with that beautiful radio voice, but I remember watching you on television and doing the game shows. How do you think of you?
Well, I think of myself as a radio person first and foremost because radio is in my blood. I've often said that if I had to choose between one or the other, I would probably choose radio, although you have the opportunity to make more money in television simply because it's television. But if I had to choose, I would choose radio. And I still love radio, and I'm doing radio in
the third segment.
Okay, I'll talk about that later.
I feel the same way, having done a lot of both. I love radio and normal conversation, but when you do television, you have to add what you're wearing and how you look.
That's right. My first television show was called Wink Martindale of the Mars Patrol. Yes. In Memphis, Tennessee. I had my little Mars guards, and we'd drink our Bosco and milk and then blast off into space. It was the first year that WHBQ-TV was on the air, and they gave me the show, and it took off like a rocket. And I did that a couple of years, very successful. And then I moved into Wink Martindale Dance Party. I was sort of the Dick Clark of Memphis during American Bandstand days. So I did that for about 4 years before I came to Los Angeles in 1959. And it was in 1965 when I love Password with Alan Ludden. And so I thought, wow, he looks like he's having so much fun. Why don't I audition for a game show? So I talked to my agent, and I went on an audition for a show that was local on KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles called What's the Name of That Song? And it became...
Did it later become Name That Tune?
No, it became What's This Song?
Oh, okay.
But it was a Name That Tune type show, you know.
I did that one.
Did you? Good for you. It was a good show.
Who emceed Name That Tune?
Name That Tune that I knew was Tom Kennedy.
Might have been.
Yeah. But What's This Song came about as a result of What's the Name of That Song being too wide to go in the column of TV Guide. So it became What's This Song. And I was Wynn Martindale the first year doing that show on NBC because in New York, the guys who make the big decisions, one of them decided that Wink was too juvenile sounding. So they knocked the K off. And for 1 year on What's This Song, my first game show, I was Wynn Martindale. And then after that, it didn't seem to matter. I went back to Wink, and Wink has served me well.
Was the game show thing more fun or less fun than interviewing all those celebrities on the radio?
Well, it's sort of a whole different genre. I loved interviewing all the people, and thank God I kept all those interviews. I still have them, and they're the basis of my show that I'm doing here now. Which
I love to listen to them. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
And your voice hasn't changed.
I call them vintage visits. And I make no bones, you know, that the interviews were done probably around the 1970s and 80s. But they sound like they were done yesterday. But anyway, what was your question?
I don't know. Did you like interviewing celebrities? I mean, you interviewed everybody who sang, starting with Elvis. We'll tell some of those stories here. And you also had the game show. They were very different. I guess you liked what you were doing at the time.
Well, I was doing both radio and television in 65 when I was doing What's This Song. I was still morning man at WHB, KFWB in Los Angeles. And then when I got tired of doing rock and roll, so I got out of that and became sort of a well-known game show host. So I did, the most successful show I ever did was Tic-Tac-Toe.
Watched it all the time.
Which most people know me from. But I did a show called Gambit, which was my first big success on network. That was on CBS for 5 years from 71 through 76.
And we only had maybe three networks.
Yeah, three networks at that time. And I did a show called Debt for Disney, which a lot of people know me by. That was one of the latter shows that I did. But Tic-Tac-Toe I enjoyed doing because all those years of interviewing kids and grown-ups alike, growing up through the ranks helped me so much, because every time a contestant walked out, I had to interview that person in the shortest possible time and yet elicit something from them that hopefully was interesting, and even more hopefully you get a laugh from. But that was quite a challenge.
Live audience?
Live audience, yeah, yeah. And I did that show for almost 9 years.
I love those things. Are they still around, those tapes?
Yeah, those tapes are in vaults. The Game Show Network, from time to time, will bring some of them out and play them for a few months. So it's always kind of fun to go back and watch those.
Who knew we'd have a whole network now that's nothing but game shows, or a whole network now that's nothing but food, or a whole network on TV now that's nothing but how to fix up your home? I mean, it's really changed.
Yeah, there's Game Show Network, and also there's a network called Buzzer, which carries nothing but game shows from years past. Yeah.
Tell us how the Elvis thing started.
Well, Elvis was a guest of mine on my Top 10 Dance Party on WHBQ-TV in Memphis one Saturday afternoon in 1956. He had just gotten back from Hollywood from doing his first movie, Love Me Tender. And we had met one night in 1954 at WHBQ Radio, so I knew him from then. And the reason for that meeting was that Dewey Phillips, the DJ on WHBQ with a show called Red Hot and Blue, was the first to play a record called That's All Right Mama by a truck driver named Elvis Presley. It so happens that Sam Phillips, founder of Sun Records, walked in that night. He didn't even have a record yet. 2 hours earlier, he had cut this record, That's All Right Mama, so he had just an acetate. And Dewey Phillips put it on the air. The switchboard lit up. He played it 7 times in a row. And I was the one designated to call Gladys and Vernon, Elvis's mom and dad, find out where Elvis was. Because naturally, we all wanted him to, who is this guy? We wanted him to come down to the radio station. So Mrs. Presley said, well, he was so nervous about his record being played, he went to see a double feature Western. He's at the Suzor's Theater. So they got in their truck and they went down, walked up the dark aisles, found Elvis sitting there all by himself watching this Western, whispered to him about the excitement. He was so thrilled. He came down to the radio station that night. I met him, and he remained my friend until the day he died. Now, fade to black and come up on 2 years later, 1956, and he's just back from Hollywood from doing his first movie. And, of course, everybody was clamoring to get here. He was the hottest thing since baked bread and getting hotter by the minute. But because of our past association, he came on my show for an interview. And it was the first filmed interview that he ever did. And that was where our association really started. He not only did an interview that day, but he actually got out on the floor and danced with the teenagers.
Oh, my stars. I mean, that'll put your shirt in the dirt. I got to meet him with Cy Marsh, who was Sammy Davis's manager, and we went backstage at the Hilton when Elvis was at the Hilton in Vegas.
Sandy and I went over there to see Elvis. It was my birthday, and I guess it was 1968. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 1978.
We have a birthday every year.
Yeah. I like to forget that. They're just numbers. But she took me over there for my birthday, and we went back between shows. That's when Elvis was still doing 2 shows a night at the International Hotel. And naturally, the dressing room was packed with people. But he just wanted to talk to Sandy and me. And everybody was quiet as a mouse because they wanted to hear what he was talking about to us. And of course, Sandy had dated Elvis.
Sandy is Wink's wife, Joey Pals. Now she's Wink's wife. When this story's going on, she wasn't.
That's right. Sandy likes to say that when Elvis dated her, not when she dated Elvis.
Absolutely.
When Elvis dated her for 6 years, of course, they had a great relationship, and that was the way she got to know him. And, of course, I got to know him from that night at WHBQ Radio.
Who was the most outstanding interview you feel you ever had? I know that's a tough question. It might have been Elvis.
I guess Elvis would probably have to be the most memorable.
Do you still have that tape?
Yes, I do. I have the audio tape, but I made the mistake of loaning it out to a dear friend.
Who's not a friend anymore.
No, as a matter of fact, he passed on. But it was 28 minutes long, and the tape that I got back was only 4 minutes long. And he never explained to me what happened. But it was an interview that I will always remember and cherish and keep in my mind for all times. And other interviews, I mean, I talked to so many people. Neil Diamond comes to mind.
I opened for Neil Diamond in Springfield, Illinois, at the Illinois State Fair.
Well, good for you.
I think. It's all a blur. Yeah. But go ahead.
But, you know, there's so many other interviews that come to mind that I think about. I loved my interview with
the Beach Boys.
Oh, the Beach Boys, of course. Yeah, Mike Love. And that was so much fun. And I could go on and on.
So many of them are gone now, too. I'm so glad you have these tapes. First of all, we can prove you really did it. And secondly, your voice hasn't changed. And even when they're gone, it's like they're still part of our fabric.
That's right. You know, there are certain interviews that you remember more than others, but I've got them all. And no matter whether they were big stars or secondary stars, the fact is they came in and gave me of their time and their talents. And for that, I'm most appreciative and always will be.
Joey Pals, we're sharing the heartbeats with Wink Martindale. If you're near your phones, I've got presents for you.